When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
The final hour of our program has arrived. We've covered pretty much everything under the sun, and we are really excited to say hello to Ladd McConkie, the great wide receiver from the University of Georgia, joining us from Athens. And Ladd, thank you for making time for us. It's great to see you, and how's everything going so far?
Yes, sir, Paul. I appreciate you having me. We're locked in. We've been having some good practices. 20-something days away now, so we're ready.
Well, great. We could spend all day talking about what you and your teammates have done the last couple of years. I know you said recently you were glad to finally catch a little bit of a break, getting over some knee problems. How are you feeling going into the season?
Oh, yeah, I mean, I'm feeling good. Having that time off at the end of the season definitely helped. So we're getting back into it now. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling healthy. Whole team's feeling good, too. So, like I said, we're locked in, had some good practices, so it's been going good.
Well, tell us about getting ready. It's a little bit different, not totally, but you've got a new starting quarterback. You've got a new offensive coordinator in Coach Bobo. Just dealing with a few new things. A few wide receivers have left. There's always change at Georgia because of the talent, but things are a little bit different. What's it been like?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know the mentality we have is next man up, whether it's Coach Bobo, whether it's our quarterback. So those guys have done a tremendous job. We have a lot of leaders that have came back this year, so that's been a huge help. And the young guys can kind of feed off that energy. If we're going out there having good practice and have a good energy, it kind of does a ripple effect down to the rest of the team.
Ladd, I know a lot of people from the media standpoint, they talk about Carson Beck and they say, well, he's a new quarterback, but that's not exactly true. I mean, he has been around, as you have, for some time. How would you describe his matriculation now as the guy that everybody will be watching?
Yeah, so he came in with me, so I mean, we're going in our fourth year together, and at practice here, I mean, we do so many reps and treat it like a game. So even he might not have those game experience reps, I mean, he has so many reps in practice, it feels like he has the experience already.
Well, and there's no way to replicate being in the games that you have been in. I mean, we don't need to go through. I mean, we're talking about Titanic games during the season, SEC championship games, playoff games, national championship games. In watching him get ready, do you think? I mean, what do you think he needs to just? Do you think he just needs to experience it, and then he'll be fine, or maybe he's already fine? Just what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, our coaches do a tremendous job of putting all our guys in tough situations, making it hard on them in practice, so it's easy when the game comes. So obviously, like you said, game reps are the most important, but with our scrimmages coming up the next couple weekends, I think that'll be huge for all those guys.
I know players like to mimic their coaches, and you'll never get Coach Smart or anybody to talk about anything other than what's in front of you, but you're pretty savvy. The media loves to look ahead, and there's this narrative out there about Georgia's schedule. Like, and we're realizing that to get to the national championship game, you've got to go through the West. You have to go through a playoff. I mean, you've been through this already. But do any of you guys cringe at all when people dismiss your schedule as being easy, even though we all know Oklahoma was on that schedule and a road game in Norman that got taken off because of the expansion?
Yeah, I think Coach Smart said it best. He said, come play it. So, I mean, it doesn't matter who we're playing. We're attacking it and having the same mindset every week and go out and handle our business.
And I'm sure the same question as we look at the schedule here. It's UT Martin, Ball State. South Carolina is pretty quickly, so it's not like you know, you have a cakewalk, and then in UAB, Auburn, Kentucky, at Vanderbilt, Florida, Missouri. A lot of people are looking to November 18th. I won't ask you because I already know what you're going to say if I ask you about a Tennessee game. You'll talk about UT Martin, and I'm not really all that excited about hearing about that game. So let me just ask you about a mindset. And we talked to Coach Smart a couple of times in the offseason. We saw him recently at the media days. And, you know, the questions are fast and furious about this three-peat. What's that been? Does that come up in the locker room, on the field, or are you guys so drilled in that you don't let any outside noise seep into what you're trying to accomplish?
I mean, we're a different team from last year. The last year's team was a different team than the year before, so we try to take it one day at a time. Just, I mean, do the duty that lies nearest, whether that's a practice, that's a meeting, that's a walkthrough. Just be locked in, mentally focused on everything we do. And like I said, the rest will take care of itself when the time comes.
What's it been like for you? Because you came in, I think, in 2020.
Yes, sir.
You know, the COVID year was, for fans, it was a disaster. I mean, you guys played, and it was a difficult season. But it hasn't been. But since then, you guys have just been unbelievable with Stetson, with different players on offense and defense. What has this ride been like for you personally?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's been awesome. Coming here my freshman year, obviously didn't get to play, so it wasn't fun in the time, but it was definitely what I needed. And then finally be able to get out there and play with my teammates, there's really no better feeling than walking out there on Saturday and being able to get a win with the guys.
And on that front, lad, you're from the state, so much has happened. I mean, it's hard to believe you go back two or three years and we talked about Georgia in a different light, but you wanted to go there. You wanted to be part of something. Obviously, it's worked out pretty well. I know everybody, you're confident, but in your wildest dreams, I mean, did you think I would be asking, or anyone would be asking you in 2023 about a three-peat?
I mean, it's honestly, when you look at it like that, it's crazy. And what we've done is truly special. But as soon as you start looking at that, that's when you get caught up. So taking it one day at a time, looking forward, not kind of sitting back and resting on our laurels and doing what we got to do. But yeah, I mean, it is something that's truly special, and it was awesome to do that, but we're going for another one. So.
Okay, I'm kidding when I say that, but you guys practice saying one game at a time in the locker room. Is that part of the drills?
I mean, that's just like how it always is. That's how Coach Martz, that's how he's always been. So he's never going to let us sit there and look in the past.
Let's talk about him for a second, because having known him for a long time, seeing him as an assistant, I mean, he's a fiery guy. And I think sometimes, we see a little bit of it, but what's he like to deal with on a day-to-day basis? And I know you don't want him getting mad at you, do you?
no doubt. You want to be the best you can be. It's listen to the message, not the tone. But he wants the best for all of us, and I think all the guys realize that. I mean, he can be hard on you, but he just wants us to succeed. And I mean, I appreciate that. And I mean, I think as you get older, you appreciate it more, even more.
Lad, most young players never get a national championship, let alone two. Was one season different? I mean, obviously they're obviously very different in terms of how they play out. But
yeah,
winning it, did it feel the same? Running over TCU last year as it did Alabama the previous year.
I mean, it's anytime you can do it, I think it's something you should cherish and not take for granted, because it's hard. I mean, what we do day in day out is hard. So that first one was sweet, but I mean, that second one was just as sweet, I'd say.
Well, the second one wasn't nearly as tense as the first one. I'll put it that way. I mean, a lot of people were at home were struggling to stay awake because it was in the 60-something to seven. In terms of the celebration, though, this year has been different. It's been said many, many times. What's it been like just dealing with such personal tragedy and a lot of hullabaloo over the aftermath of that?
Yeah, I mean, it's been hard, but I think it brought us together as a team. So many guys were struggling, and I mean, our coaches, it's situations that I feel like no one's had to deal with before. So we had so much support from our team chaplain, Thomas Settles, Coach Smart, the rest of our staff, and it really brought us closer together as a team and just to cherish one another and realize that, I mean, tomorrow's not guaranteed.
No, it's not. And from a distance, and you're living it, these were friends and teammates and people that were brothers and sisters to you. But it had to affect the celebration, though, because it was immediate. And it's hard to be thinking about what you've accomplished when you're all going through something like this.
Yeah, I mean, Chandler and Dev were two people that every time you saw them, they had a smile on their face. They were always around, and like you said, they were our family. So it was tough, and it really is a hard situation. You don't really know what to do. You don't know what to say. You don't know whether – I don't know. It really is hard, and I feel like our coaches had never been through it either. So it took a group effort, but it brought us closer together at the end and just lean on one another and love each other.
When you're in this situation and you've accomplished so much, but it doesn't, and again, this is anecdotal here from hearing and then watching and talking to you, but you guys don't look like a program that is at the epicenter of college football because you're so disciplined. How does everybody on that team keep everyone else in check and grounded?
Yeah, I mean, it starts from the top with Coach Smart, and it works its way down to the freshmen. Everybody's got to hold each other accountable, be disciplined, and that's on the field, off the field. So, yeah, it just starts at the top, and then everybody's got to hold themselves accountable and hold each other accountable.
In terms of looking ahead, that next game, I know it's coming up, isn't it? The Martin game. Do you think about that, or is it more about yourself? Is it more about, you know, I have a position, I have assignments, I have to execute. I don't get hung up on all that other stuff.
As in, like, just like the first game?
Yeah, I didn't expect you to go too waxing poetic about UT Martin. I was just trying to peek inside that locker room.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's really whoever's in front of us, we want to go out and do what we do. It doesn't matter if it's our first game, second game, SEC championship, national championship. We go with the same mindset, want to finish from first quarter to fourth quarter, and that's what we do.
Well, lad, it's been fun talking to you. You are,
yes, sir.
You're. I mean, we think about college athletics, and it's remarkable when we see how grounded you guys are, considering what you've accomplished. I don't know at your age, I'd be able to answer questions the same way you have. But congratulations, and all the best this year.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you having me.
We're delighted. Ladd McConkey joining us from Athens. And you wonder why Georgia is doing so well? That's why. Right there. We'll take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Back, and I-Man is up next as we continue.
Lordy, 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 Miss Cloudy. Good afternoon there, Paul Feinbaum.
Good afternoon.
I hope you're having a great day. You know, I was kind of reminiscing on that phone feud with Jim and Legend from yesterday. You know, sometimes you don't run down there and just get you one. Sometimes you take a break and you let it sink in and you consume it and look at it and walk down and get them all. Why take one when you can walk and get them all? Yesterday when, you know, people always talk about phone feuds. I can't listen to that mess. I hate that mess. That ain't sports. That's real life, folks. I mean, these are people that have got opinions and they have thoughts and they want to express them, and you're going to hear them whether you understand what's going on or not. That's why you got to pay attention to this program. There's a lot of little subtle things that take place that most people aren't aware of, but if you've been listening for a while, you hear the jab. You see somebody throw a chair across the ring, and it may be 10 minutes, maybe 2 days before somebody responds, but there's always a response, isn't there, Paul?
Yes, sir.
There's always a response. So I'm listening to it, Legend's talking, and I tell you, you know, let's just use all this wrestling vernacular. Jim came in like a one-man gang. He stepped over the top rope like Andre the Giant, and Legend was too busy giving out black hats, and you know, he was prancing around the ring, and he's waving at the fans, and he's talking on the microphone, and Jim just walked right over. He just stepped over the top rope. And he grabbed Legend by the chest with one hand and body slammed him. And then maybe that's part of Legend's theory in that call to, you know, kind of rope-a-dope. Let Jim play it out. Let him play it out. But Jim, he didn't quit. He picked him up, slammed him again. And then he put his foot on his chest.
So are you suggesting here, I-Man, that Jim pretty well finished Legend off in this call?
I don't know that he finished him off permanently, but I think
remember
Jim
departing the call very quickly.
Well, he come in and he put his foot on the chest and got the 1-2-3 and he looked around and everybody's, you know, doing what they're doing. Everybody wants to hate on Jim, but I mean, everybody loves a good train wreck. And I tell you what, that was a train wreck yesterday when Legend and Jim ended up in the ring. And I tell you, when Jim walked in, he picked him up, body slammed him, 1-2-3, wiped his hands, stepped over top rope, and he slung out all the black hats that was left. And I think Jim actually won that one. And then he called back, and he was actually very calm and collective. And I thought that was one for Jim. What do you think?
Well, I know how objective you are on the subject of Jim, so I'll give a lot of credence and weight to what you're saying.
I mean, you think I'm playing favorites? I'm just calling them like I saw them.
I don't know what transpired between you and Jim. But your objectivity on Jim is no longer in question. We all know you're in the tank for him.
I'm in the tank. Why can't I have an independent thought? That's what
Because on that subject, you have not had an independent thought in some time.
No, I see clearly now the rain is gone. I mean, I'm just looking around and I'm just listening
what changed? Because there was a time, I-Man, and I hate to remind you that you,
right,
you did not like Jim. You despised Jim on this show. So what happened?
I didn't say I liked him. I didn't say I loved him. I mean, I just get along with him.
There was this moment in time where you guys were mortal enemies, and now you're besties.
I don't know if we're besties, but I think Jim's an authentic person.
I mean, quit trying to equivocate everything I say. Just want you
to equivocate. Why you got to use words like that? I mean, you go into the back corner and you put them words out there.
I don't mind objective conversation, and I've had some nice conversations with Jim today, but I'm just trying to make sure people are aware that you're not a neutral observer here. You hate Legend.
Sure I am. Hey, just because you're the wrestling referee and you're distracted and somebody's throwing haymakers over in the corner and chairs and there's people and you didn't see none of them because you was too busy pointing at that fellow on the ringside that was standing there. And you see, you love a big word. Have you got another big word for me? I mean, that guy called in and said, buzzwords, gamecock. I mean, what's your buzzwords? Do we need buzzwords? How about
my buzzword for this call is disingenuous.
Disingenuous?
Yes.
You know, there you go. Disingenuous. That's five syllables, isn't it? Are you thinking?
I have nothing to say.
You're not paying attention?
I don't have to worry about stepping on a good call here.
Well, it is a good call. I mean, you know, you're too busy ranting and raving at the old lady there at ringside because she's throwing popcorn, and there's 15 people over here knocking the blood out of you.
One thing we always try to do here, though, I-Man, and I think you know this because you've been around a while, is we try to keep it real.
Well, we are keeping it real. And you know, maybe real changes next week. Who knows? Maybe something else is real. But the one thing I won't ask you is, what do you think about my quarterback at Texas A&M there, Paul? What do you think we're going to do? What do you think Alabama going to do? You know, they got a whole bunch of quarterbacks. They got one that's going to throw the ball, one that's going to run the ball, and one that's going to jump with the ball. What do you think about that, Paul? You think Nick Saban's going to quit? War damn Eagle. Have a good day.
Al is up next in Georgia. Hello, Al.
Hey, Paul. How you doing, brother?
We are doing great.
I apologize because I'm a little ticked off. I want to address this class. Now, you know I'm from Georgia. I'm a diehard Georgia fan from the word go, over 50 years. But that little clown that you had on there by the name of Spencer and his buddies, they're idiots. They're wanting to bash Nick Saban, the greatest coach that's ever been in the SEC, in my book. And they're wanting to talk about all this crap. The man has got 7 national championships. He's taken players from Alabama and all over this world to the highest levels that they could possibly be. And this clown wants him removed. And he's talking about him and his friends. What they need to do is bend over, snap up real fast, pull their heads out of their butts, listen for the pop, and say, oh, Lord, I'm not part of this entitled generation. Boy, that makes me mad. I mean, why do you want to get rid of the greatest thing that you got?
Well,
the guy was
a student at Alabama, for those who just got on board, and he said he doesn't want Saban. I can't believe I'm even repeating this, so maybe I won't. But you, essentially, Saban hanging around too long.
But he, when you got the greatest mind in football, why don't you want to keep him?
He wanted young blood in there. That's what he said.
Okay, who's he going to put in there? And I remember you asking him that. Yeah, and he said, oh, someone younger. Give me a break. Who's younger than him?
You think this is generational? You think this is just a young person's mindset?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And Lord have mercy. It's got me some dead flame mad of biting 10 penny nails into. And I like Alabama. I like Florida, except when we play them, then I hate them. But that's the way it is. I mean, Alabama hates Georgia. Florida hates Georgia. But that's cool. But for a student at the University of Alabama to bash the greatest coach in the Southeastern Conference, and he said that he's got friends, that means that he's destroyed not only Nick Saban, but he's destroyed all of the players that Nick Saban has put out there. They've won those national championships.
Hey, calm down, Al. We have a break coming up. We have 30 minutes remaining on this Thursday afternoon. We're right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back, and Legend is up next.
What's going on, my black hat brother? What's going on, baby?
Legend.
Man, it's really sad. The pathetic lapdog that I-Man has turned into. It's really sad. Once upon a time, he was a great caller. Now he's Jim's little lapdog. People don't know, but he judged the Roy Jones Olympic fight. That old ass geezer Joe Biden tried to lay a hand on me yesterday. Couldn't even lay a hand on me. I man got him knocking me out 3 times. I think when the fist started throwing, he ran off, didn't he, Paul? Didn't he run off?
I'm in agreement with you, and I don't mind anything on the show. But when you are a Hall of Fame caller. And you try to sell the audience on that. I mean, that's like in politics nowadays. You know, you call the other guy a scumbag, and then you get knocked out of the primary, and the next thing you know, your arms around the guy.
Well, I got a 147 IQ, Paul. It's not hard to figure out what's happened here. I heard Jim mention earlier on in the show, our man's got something to say today. So, in other words, Jim called him 8 times last night and convinced him to come on with that pathetic take that he just had. He's a little lapdog. Jim's got him running around the yard saying, "You're only getting faster. You're only getting faster." You know, Jim had some things to say about me yesterday, and I'd like to address it. You know, Paul, back in 1963 at the Bronx Zoo, they had an exhibit called The Most Dangerous Animal in the World. And when you walked into this exhibit at the Bronx Zoo, there was a dark room. And you stood in that dark room, and it lit up. And there was a mirror in that room, and you was looking at your own reflection. You was the most dangerous animal in the whole world. And I would like to say, I know I'm not perfect, Paul. I know I'm not perfect, dude. I know it. Nobody got to tell me I got issues, I got problems. But one thing I hate is when somebody calls me a devil worshiper and says I don't love God. I love God with all my heart. I'm just a Peter. I might chop your ear off, but afterwards I'll calm down and pray that God heals your ear after I chop your ear off. But in my heart, I love people. I don't hate people. I've been down that road. Yes, I took a man's life with a gun, and I'm ashamed of it. I was a coward. And anybody that takes a gun and decides to argument or something like that ain't using the God-given brain that God gave them and ought to stop that bull crap in this country. I promote that, and I believe that with all my heart. But for this coward, this hypocrite, this Joe Biden geezer-ass old man to come on this show and to call me a devil worshiper and tell you what he said about me is totally ludicrous. I'll tell you something, Joe Biden from Tuscaloosa. I'll tell you right now, like Tupac said, only God can judge me, brother. And I'm going to tell you something. When God judges me, you won't be in the damn room in the discussion. I can promise you that right there, brother. Without God's mercy and grace, there's no hope for a fool like me. But I believe in God, and I ask for his mercy and grace, and I don't pretend to be something that I'm not. So you want to call me a devil worshiper? You're a Pinocchio-ass liar. That's all you've ever been. Coming on here talking about AAA baseball. I hate a bully. I'll stand up to a bully every day of the week. I love all people,
But a bully like you that's attacked women, that's attacked children, that's attacked every new caller on this show, that's a continuing to attack Susie and women that's just getting out of hospital, you're a pathetic-ass old geezer Joe Biden, and nobody wants your ass around for real. Stop calling this damn show three or four times a day. You're a pathetic-ass old man. And that's the damn truth of the matter. I love God. Don't call me a damn devil worshiper. I love God, brother. I know every morning that I get up, it's a blessing and a mercy from the God Almighty. And when I stand before him, if I get in, it'll be based upon his mercy and not what I am. You think you're going to make heaven, brother? If you make it, I'm going to have a mansion right next to your ass. You can bet your ass on that. Now, Paul, for this Georgia lineman, this is... Hell yeah! Everybody! Black hats for everybody! That's what I believe, Paul. And, lie, man, you ain't nothing but a little lap dog. You want to team up with him? Well, brother, I got some black cat grooves, the handsome one. Bubba! I got some black cat brothers, man, that got my back. So you keep running your mouth, you keep being his lap dog, and when both of you get in the ring, I'm going to continue beating your ass, you're going to continue being jealous of me, because I'm real, I'm not a fake punk like the both of y'all. Now I'm getting out of the building before I get crazy. Legend has left the building.
Yeah. Tupac quote there, how about that? Squirrel is up next. What do you got, Squirrel?
Jalapeno. That's all I got to say. But a text just a few minutes ago after I heard his phone call, and I told him that no cat has ever give his kitten a better tongue bath than the one he gave Tim a few minutes ago. I know his fur is so shiny right now, and I know he's so appreciative. But, you know, you touched on it earlier when you said, you know, we keep it real on this show. You know what I mean? And that's why I had to cut the cord with Jim and block his number and all that. And let me tell you something that will surprise you right now. Iman doesn't have Jim's phone number. It's weird. You know, because I was talking to him a few weeks ago. I don't talk to him often now, but, you know, now that they've started dating. But I said, call Jim and tell him so-and-so. And he says, I don't have his number. I said, what? He says, yeah, it comes in as unknown caller. He says, you're the only one with Jim's number. So why he trusted me with his phone number, I don't know. But I will never give it out. But Iman doesn't actually have his number. That's a weird relationship. Thanks for taking my call. Aloha.
Thank you. A lot to unpack there. Why don't we do this? Take a break. A few minutes remaining on an active Thursday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Following us, SEC Now will pick it up. Stick around. Joe is up next.
Roll Tide, roll Paul Feinbaum. And hey, I got to say this. That's one of the best calls legends made. I mean, not just legends, but one of the best calls this year, as far as I'm concerned, because, I mean, he spit some truth bombs out there. And something he's talking about, that, you know, one thing you got to understand, Paul, when you make friends with a rattlesnake, you're going to get bit eventually. And everybody that's ever become friends with Jim always ended up regretting it. They regret it. I don't know what it is that talks them into being friends temporarily, but then eventually they find out what he's all about, so they leave his butt, Paul. But hey, Paul, whenever you get time, you need to get up here at Red Bay, man. We got this new pizza place in Red Bay. It's Heiligan Pizza. Man, I tell you what, that's one of the best pizzas I've ever had.
Is it a thin crust? What kind of pizza?
Oh yeah, man, it's good, Paul. I don't know what they do different. But I mean, I've visited pizza places all over the country, but this is the best one, and it's right here in Red Bay. But man, they're good, and they're the busiest restaurant in Red Bay right now by far. But anyway, Paul, I've been seeing this commercial SEC Nation. Man, that's getting me so pumped up, Paul. And you know, I can't. You know, just seeing that's already making me think it's game day already. I can't wait till this gets started. And I hope the whole crew they got there, Paul, and you're the one that makes this thing set off even better, having you right there with it. And, man, I just can't wait to get this started. And by the way, they going to be in Nashville September 2nd? Are y'all going to be in Nashville September 2nd? Who's actually coming to play Vanderbilt that day?
It's not Vanderbilt. Tennessee's playing in Nashville.
Tennessee's playing. Okay. Yeah. I'm just curious. I didn't know, you know. I don't keep up a lot of sports up there, you know, across the borderline from Alabama. But
Joe, the issue that weekend is there are not a lot of really good games. The best game is on Sunday night, which doesn't really help us very much. And
right.
You only have really two competitive games that day. You have North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee and Virginia, even though I don't think that will be competitive.
Yeah, right. Well, that Tennessee is probably going to be the best game out there because Alabama starts off with a cupcake. Georgia does.
I would say there's a pretty fair chance you'll see us the next week.
Well, that's good, Pop. Whenever you do hit Tuscaloosa, I'm going to come down there and check you out, Paul. I'll get up with you down there for sure.
If we're not there the second weekend of the year, I'll be shocked.
Well, you'll be there sometime this year anyway, so. And they over at Oxford, too. Oxford, you know, where Red Bay's at, it's kind of right in the middle between Oxford.
I look forward to seeing you, Joe. You take care of yourself. Buck is up next in Florida. Hello, Buck.
Hey, how you doing, Mr. Paul?
We're doing well. Thank you.
Long-time caller, first-time listener. Okay, I got a serious question. Excluding Notre Dame, okay, if the SEC had the keys to the candy store, I can't see anything but Florida State, Clemson, Miami, North Carolina.
I think you're on the right track. I do think there's a lot of back and forth on that, and we had a guest on earlier today, Blake Topmeyer, he said he thought North Carolina would be the first pick of that group.
Well, yeah, but what's after that?
Well,
can you think of four more teams?
No, I mean I think
that
deserve
an even cut.
The ones you mentioned would probably be the best ones.
Well, yeah, that's a given. But
after that, I don't know anybody else in the ACC that really brings anything to the table.
Exactly.
Because
we're talking, 40 million?
Yeah, I mean, look at it. Syracuse doesn't work. Boston College doesn't work. NC State doesn't work. Virginia Tech. Virginia Tech is a very difficult conversation because neither one really bring very much. Louisville is marginal. Yeah, Duke doesn't bring you anything.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think that it's about to settle into four 20-team conferences.
I think you're right. I think that's unmanageable, but that's probably where we're going. Thanks for the call. Mike is up next in Georgia. Hey, Mike.
Yeah, Paul, you know I love you. I met you at the national championship game with McElroy, and I hate to say it, but Duke doesn't bring anything to the table. I mean, really?
Really?
They literally run television markets by way of their basketball program.
Well, that Mike, that you're, they said, did. I'm not sure they do anymore.
Okay. All right. If you say that, I
think Duke is a – you have to wonder what Duke's going to be like post-Krzyzewski. And I think – but you can't bring in a school entirely for basketball. It won't work.
No, I agree with that. You can't bring them in only because of basketball.
But Duke,
you can bring them in because of academics.
Absolutely nothing from a football standpoint.
That I agree with. Sir, I can't argue that standpoint, but to say they bring nothing, which is your statement, I disagree.
But, Mike, I know that sounded harsh, and I'm a big fan of Duke University, but this is all about football. The basketball is not a conversation piece here.
Okay, I concede the point.
Okay.
You win. Is it not that Will at Mississippi State and Ladd McConkey are like twins?
I think they're the same person.
I think that you should like put like a little goatee on one of them and then, you know, make dual pictures. But that's not what I called for. What I called for is this. Jim, legend. If you think that legend has an IQ of 147, then I hate to break this to you, sir, but there are literally, and no exaggeration, there are bridges in San Francisco that I want to sell you that may be made of gold. I don't know how to respond to that. Jim is an absolute moron.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.